Well, our friends at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada are out with this interesting piece called Save Up to Marry or Marry to Save Up. Can two live cheaper than one? Is that ever a good reason? The cost of a wedding alone can be astronomical. We went to a wedding last summer, my wife and I. A young lady, a daughter of dear friends of ours, got married, and we were very fortunate we made the cut. Extravagant it was not. Amazing, original, fun it was. So I don't think everybody needs to drop hundreds or out of their hundreds, but multiple thousands of dollars on a good wedding. Now, Peter John Mitchell is a senior researcher at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. It takes time to join the program again. How you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me on, Gary.
Always good to chat. Save up to marry or marry up to save? Is there an answer in there someplace?
Well, I think there are clear economic advantages to getting married and staying married, but certainly in the popular mind, entrance in marriage is now requiring financial stability. And it used to be that couples would kind of get married maybe earlier in their 20s or whatever and begin to build a life together and build up sort of their economic investments. And now we're seeing kind of a cultural change in marriage where marriage is acting more as a capstone, where couples are coming together, perhaps living first, completing their education, finding stable employment, maybe even buying a house, and then getting married. And so marriage is starting to become almost a sign of we've arrived or we've now found some sort of economic security. The challenge with that is for couples who perhaps don't have that kind of privileges and have that kind of economic stability, it sort of leaves them a little bit out in the cold and it makes it more difficult for them to enter into marriage.
There's a lot of barriers there already, but if you're like, does it not come down to communication though? Because, like I said off the top, if you're actually having an open conversation about all the aspects of either cohabitating or getting married, finances has to be on the table because stats will show you finance is a major reason why marriages don't work.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we've done a few years ago, we had a study that looked at stressors in family relationships, and the one constant was financial stress. All the way through the life course, from starting out to the so-called golden years, that financial issues will always be an issue in marital relationships, and so something that needs to be communicated and certainly talked about. So, yeah, you're right. I think communication is a big aspect of that, and I think as you were saying too, this idea of entering into marriage and having the big wedding, I certainly think that's something that's been kind of culturally. A cultural pressure that we think we have to have like the big event, and we put a lot of time and energy and money into that, and maybe not as much time into thinking about the 30 plus years that come after that.
Well, here's the thing about weddings. Average cost is almost 25 grand now, or as we would have called that way back when, a down payment.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's not even counting the honeymoon. When you throw in the honeymoon, it's up over 30 grand, so that's pretty expensive. And if that's sort of the standard, then you can understand why couples would be leery about doing that. That might be a deterrent for some, or at least delaying getting into marriage. It's interesting, after one of these sort of articles and stories, somebody had sent me a story about a community that I gathered around a young couple that wanted to get married but couldn't really afford the big wedding. And it's amazing when the community pitched in, somebody donated a dress, somebody else, found some space for them to hold the wedding. And they had a beautiful event thanks to the community pulling around and making it happen at a very low cost. And so it is doable, but certainly I think there is a lot of social pressure out there to have sort of the big event and have the perfect day. It's your day. And again, maybe some more thought into what happens after that day.
But isn't this the checklist mentality? I mean, that's a great story. But isn't this, okay, once we've got this much money in the bank, then we can get married, check. Once we've got this much money in the bank and all the debts repaid, we can start to have children, check. Isn't that the checklist mentality? Because family happens.
Yeah, I think so. And I had one person say to me that if you ever waited you were sure that you were financially ready to have kids, you would never have kids.
Right.
And there's some, obviously you can be not unprepared financially, but there is probably some truth truth to that as well. And so I think, yeah, it's sort of challenging this idea that marriage sort of comes at the end, that it's sort of the icing on the cake, and rather looking at it as part of the building structure, because there are advantages to getting married. There's the advantage of pooling your income together. There's and making investments together. There's the advantage of having that social and family support. And there's certainly a lot of data as well that shows that the married couples are able to pass on some of these advantages to their children as well, even if they're themselves maybe not financially, in the higher end, maybe they're lower income. There has been some great data from the U.S. Showing that teens from married parent homes that are stable have greater economic success, greater education success, even if those are low-income homes. So there are some advantages to getting married and staying married, and those get passed on. But we don't often talk about those. Right? I mean, we think about it as an achievement rather than as a building block.
Right, Peter. Are the rates of marriages, are they tied at all to socioeconomic status? Like the lower position you come from economically, you're less likely or more likely to be married?
Well, certainly there's been some academic study in the U.S. on this topic, and it's starting to, I think, trickle down into mainstream articles and ECC articles in the New York Times. And what they're finding in the U.S. is that marriage and education together have been a dividing line between more wealthy and less wealthy, and that's been the case for a long time. But what's happening in the U.S. now is they're finding that this is starting to split the middle class between haves and have-nots, and that people that have better economic or better educational opportunities post-secondary education, or at least completing high school education, are more likely to get married. They're more likely to get married to somebody of the same sort of educational background, and they're more likely to stay married. And so they're kind of reaping those economic benefits of that. Not so much of that has been done in Canada as much, that kind of research, although that's something that we hope to remedy. And on February 25th, we're going to be releasing our report called The Marriage Gap Between Rich and Poor Canadians. And I think we maybe give away a little bit there in the title. But there's certainly more detail there. But, certainly this is something that Canadians need to be thinking about.
It's funny because I saw that title. I know we've already got your book to come on the show to talk about that one. And my reaction when I saw that title, Peter, was I went to see the movie The Last Survivor.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't be surprised how it ended. sometimes you give it away, but there's a lot of meat there to go through yet. Always good to get your perspective. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Gary.
Okay, bye-bye. Peter John Mitchell is the senior researcher at the Institute of Marriage and Family. Save up to marry or marry to save up. That's the bottom line here.